Be in the book of Proverbs this morning, chapter number 3. Proverbs chapter number 3. And as we're looking at Proverbs chapter 3, children, you are released to go to children's church if you so desire. Proverbs chapter number 3, we're going to look at basically four verses, starting in verse number 5. I probably have only a couple up there, but anyway, if you found that, would you stand for me with the reading of God's word this morning? Proverbs chapter number 3, we're going to start in verse number 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be a healing to your flesh and a refreshment to your bones. May we go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you for this time of graduation. Lord, I know that there's colleges graduating, and a friend of mine just said their son was graduating from 8th to 9th, and Lord, I just know there's a lot of things going on, but for our kids today, Lord, these five that represent different schools, different families, Father, we pray today that you will guide their lives. Lord, I pray that as we open up this word, and pray, Holy Spirit, that you will guide us. And Lord, we'll ask these things in your son's name. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Graduation is such an exciting time. I remember when I graduated. Yes, I can remember that far back. Remember graduation. And I remember that when I got into high school as a freshman, I remember looking at those seniors and thinking, 4 years. It's going to take 4 years. The next thing I turned around and we're graduating, and I wondered where in the world those 4 years went. I was one of those kids who did not have a big plan. I know many of these kids already have their lives all planned before them, and I remember that I didn't really have much of a plan. I was during the Vietnam War, and I figured pretty much I was going to be drafted, and so I just said, okay, Lord, if that's what you want. I wanted to go to college, and I wanted to be an architect. But then I found out that, I'm just going to be making a lot of plans for somebody else. I thought I could be the grandiose architect designing new buildings and that type of thing. And anyhow, when I found out it cost me money to go to college, I went to my parents and they said, good luck with that. So the GI Bill was looking better and better. And anyhow, the Coast Guard recruiter called me and said, I've got a spot for you if you want to go. And that was my 20 years. That's how I got started in that. But I remember how excited I was during my graduation time. It seemed like I was the big cheese, a senior. You know, you're a big cheese on campus, and all of a sudden, I became a nothing. You graduate, and everything changes. I remember when I walked into boot camp, we all went in different ways, and I remember next to me in line was the quarterback who won the state championship in football that year in Colorado, and I'm standing next to this guy, and I'm thinking, I can't even compete with this guy. But then something strange happened. The next day, we all went into the barber shop. We all got our hair cut exactly the same way. And from that point forward, we were all even. I'll never forget, that was the most uplifting time I think I've ever had. I could be the same as this guy right here. And then I found out it's all because of work. How well and hard you work and keeping the Lord number one in your life, and things will happen to you. And that's kind of what I want to talk to the seniors about today. And if you don't mind, congregation, I'm talking to them, but you can probably pick up on a few things yourself here. I just got to figuring out, because I'm kind of a math guy, so for you seniors, you spent, just give you an idea, 2,000 days in school. 2,000. 2,000 days. Oh my. I remember when I first started in the first grade, if somebody said, hey, 2,000 days from now, you're going to graduate from high school, I would have thought that was a long period of time as well. You get feeling, you get challenged in school. Some teachers are much better at it than others. I learned some great things in typing, for example. I had to take a typing class, and I know they call it keyboarding today or something like that. Is that what they call it? Okay, so you can talk back to me anytime you want. I feel like I'm an island up here. Anyhow, I had to take a typing class, and I had Miss Sonata. Miss Sonata was a mean lady, and anyhow, if I would make a mistake on the keyboard, she would take a ruler and smack my fingers. Don't get away with that today, but anyhow, that's what she would do. I learned a keyboard pretty good. Typing was pretty good from that point of view. You know, our lives are filled with decisions. Almost everything that we have comes from decisions. And I want to tell you, kids, as you graduate from high school now, you're going to be making a lot of decisions. I'd like to just focus on three things today that I think through my time in life, and probably you've gotten the same thing from your parents and maybe even your grandparents, but you've got some ideas. And those ideas are that from this point forward, the decisions that you make are kind of like forever decisions. Decisions on where you go to school, who you're going to marry, what job you take, those kind of things start setting your path of the rest of your life. And sometimes in our decisions, we make really good decisions. And sometimes we make decisions that we wish we had forgotten. My life verse seems very appropriate today. Psalm 119:105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And I want to tell you that through Jesus Christ, finding him as my Lord and Savior has really totally helped me throughout my entire life. It's helped me make some decisions much better and helps clarify some of those decisions that were not so good. I think there's three things that I would like for everybody to learn today. And that is, number one, seniors, learn from life. Life has a lot to give you. There's a lot of things that you'll do. You'll make mistakes, that's for sure, but learn from life. I would say travel if you can. Go to school. Learn a trade. Find somebody who shares your same enthusiasm for the Lord and marry that person. Have a great time with them, but learn from life. When I look at the Bible, I'm reminded of the book of Ecclesiastes, and you don't have to turn here, but in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the writer here makes a statement about life in general. And sometimes when I'm having a hard time in life or sometimes the direction I have chosen just doesn't seem right, I come back to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and it says this, "For everything there is a season, there's a time for every matter under heaven. There's a time to be born and a time to die. There's a time to plant and a time to pluck up which has been planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to tear, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, and a time for war and a time for peace." I think what the writer was trying to say here is through life, you're going to learn from a lot of different ways. In our life, it never really runs very smooth. There's things that you can be going along and everything can be just going perfect, and all of a sudden there's detours and there's changes and things happen in your life. Just acknowledge that. Understand that life as it pertains to you today will always be constantly changing. There's always something new. Your next step is your next step. I'm reminded of a poem by, it's called Rainy Day by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. And this poem was read at Linda and I's graduation. And as I was thinking about this, I wanted to add this prayer, this poem to you today. It says, "The day is cold and dark and dreary. It rains and the wind is never weary. The vine still clings to the moldering wall, but every gust the dead leaves fall, and the day is dark and dreary. My life is cold and dark and dreary. It rains and the wind is never weary. My thoughts still cling to the moldering past, but the hopes of youth fall thick in the blast, and the days are dark and dreary. But still, sad heart, cease repining. Behind the clouds is the sun is still shining. Thy fate is common, fate of all. Into each life some rain must fall, some days must be dark and dreary." As we go through life, it's not all going to be highs. There's going to be lows as well. And the real character of a person is what we see when the low times in life. The high times in life, everybody can be in great. Everybody can be positive. Everybody can be giving. But it's in the low times of life we find the hardest times. And I really believe with all my heart that Matthew really quoted Jesus as saying this. He says, "I want you to be children of your Father which is in heaven, that you may, when he maketh the sun to rise and the evil on the good and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust, in your lives experiences will happen. And it really depends on you how you're going to take those experiences and make them work for you throughout the rest of your life." There are really two main choices that you make in your life. And yes, I know we could say you're the type of work that you do. We could say also the type of schooling that you get. But I really think there's two choices in your life that will make a forever instance in your life. help you to understand the future as well as to cope through that. Number one is, I think your choice in companions is probably most critical. Eddie this morning in a Sunday school class was talking about when he was a young man, he said that when I was around good people, I was really good. Eddie, I'm sorry, I started this. I'm going to go ahead and finish it. Okay. He said, when I was around bad people, I was really bad. Companions. We find him through high school, and I remember when I was going through high school, I had three really good friends, and after I got out and got married, I don't even know where two of them are anymore. It just kind of happens. That's the way life is. But I would say your choice of companions, your choice of friends, can either help you to elevate your life to a level that you've never seen before, or it can take you to places that you never hoped to be. Choice of companions is really important. I look back to my life, and I just know that through my life, when I have wandered away from the Lord, it's because of the companions that I was dealing with at that time, the friends that I was hanging around with. The times where I was really doing well, I also was times where I chose to be around the right people. And I would say, seniors, choose, and choose wisely. Your companions are going to be the most important part next to your parents and your family in building blocks to the future. You go off to school, you're going to make new friends. You start a new job, you're going to make new friends. No matter what you do, you will make new friends. And as you do, choose wisely on those friends. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20 says, "He that walketh with the wise shall be wise, but a companion of fools will be destroyed." I've made some wrong decisions in my life with friends. I've made some that I later wish I never would have. There's things that I put out on Facebook that are very positive. I don't put out the negative things on Facebook. I don't put down my failures. I don't put down those kind of things. What I really want to do is focus then on the right things. If I'm going to do that in Facebook, why don't I do that with my life? Why don't I choose those right things? Bad friends are like fish. They begin to stink for a while. And if you're around them enough, their smell will be on you. Seniors, graduates, choose your friends wisely. The next important thing, the most important thing I think of all after this point is simply this. Choose the right person when you marry. More and more times I have been called into counseling because people have made bad decisions when they chose a mate. When Michelle was early in her dating period, my daughter, we decided right then and there we're going to help her along our way because we both realized we had made bad decisions in our life about who we dated and that type of thing. And so anyhow, we had Michelle create a list, and this list was all the things that she would see that this must be in her husband. These items must be there. And if they are there, then at least that's somebody to consider. But now, if you had 10 items and they only did 9, don't consider that person. Now, that's how strict we were with her. I want to give you kind of some of the ideas that we talked with her about. We wanted her to make sure that she marries somebody with like beliefs. Not only just a Christian, but like beliefs. We wanted her to make sure that her husband, whoever she was going to pick, treats his mother correctly, because that is a direct result of how he will be treating her. You're marrying into families. Make sure that the family you can marry into as well. Get the glitter and get the starlight out of your eyes and really look, take a hard look, because what you're doing is making a decision, and this decision we hope will be forever. Don't marry to the world's standards. When Linda and I got married, I remember going to my dad, and I said, "Dad, we got everything in common." And he says, "You do?" And he says, "Yeah, we both like Pepsi." Oh, you laugh. That was a big deal. Then he says, "Well, what else?" And I said, "Well, Dad, you know, we like the same kind of music." And he says, "What kind is that?" And I said, "Well, I like the Beach Boys." "Well, does she like the Beach Boys?" No. "She likes Frankie Valli." I found out right away after talking to my dad in just 2 seconds, we didn't have a lot in common. But those were not the common things that we should have been looking for in the first place. Number one, learn from life. Number two, learn that life has real value. You're going to do some things and you're going to work through some things that will absolutely take the rest of your life, and it will be a foundational stone on the things that you do. My dad taught me early in life to work hard. He taught me to work for my employer as if that was Jesus Christ. I want you to think about that a moment. That's right out of Ephesians. Work for my employer as if it's Jesus Christ. Would you take a lot of breaks? Would you do this? Would you do that? Would you work hard? Would you give him a full day's work for a full day's pay? And he instilled that within me. And I got to tell you, I still have that in me today. I still believe that every employer I have, I should treat as if it's Jesus Christ. I also found out early in life that there are some decisions that are worth worrying about, and there are other decisions not worth worrying about at all. Lynn and I fret every day about where we're going to have lunch. And we go through the usual. Well, where do you want to go? I don't know. Where do you want to go? I don't know. Where do you want to go? I don't know. So pretty soon, then we start the opposite way. Well, where don't you want to eat today? Oh, I don't know. And we go through, and finally I say, well, how about we go to Potbelly's? No, we were there last week. Okay, so you don't really care where we go? No? Okay, well, let's go to McAllister's. Oh, honey, we just had a sandwich yesterday. So pretty soon you're in this big thing. Let me tell you, that's not the kind of decision that you worry about. A decision that takes a short time to envelop and dissolve doesn't take a whole lot of time. But there are some decisions that we should take a lot of time on. A lot of time on. Your formal education, where are you going to go? Your vocation, what are you going to do? We may look at an automobile and say, yeah, that's a big deal, but when you're working together and you're saying, okay, now I see that cars are actually being financed for 7 years, that's a huge investment. That's a huge investment in time. Boy, you ought to really take a look at that. Getting ready to buy your first house? Yeah, make sure you do it the right way. These are long-term decisions, and I believe having a life mate is the most important of those decisions. Honesty, integrity, faithfulness, those are keys to be looking for in that person. Make sure, above all things, that you understand that life will give you lessons, and you can learn from those lessons. Just make sure that you have rearview mirror is looking in that direction, but you're always looking forward. Learn from your errors and then proceed to the future. And then the third and most important thing I would say for every person is this: learn who God is. You say, well, Bob, what are you talking about? Learn who God is. I'm telling you, a personal God, our God that we worship, it is important that we know who he is, what he has done in our life. I don't think you can really understand life unless you truly understand death. I don't think we really appreciate life until we truly appreciate death. And Bob, you say, what am I talking about? Well, I don't really appreciate my life until I really appreciated the death of Jesus Christ on the cross for me. Oh, learn who God is. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct thy paths. Romans chapter 8. And verse 28 says, and we know all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. God created us to have a relationship. He created us to have a relationship with man, but he also created us to have a relationship with him. And when we learn who God truly is, when we learn what he has done for us, when we learn his love for mankind, when we learn what he is doing for us in the future, when we really understand that and we learn that, then we can really start understanding who God is. Relationships. I would say when we learn who God is, then our vertical relationship becomes clearer and clearer. And when our vertical relationship with God becomes clear, then our horizontal relationship with others becomes clear as well. Jesus said, keep my commandments. One of his great commandments is simply this: love God more than anything else, and love man the same way. Now, that's Bob's loose translation, but that's what he said. Love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your spirit, and love man. How can we love man? Well, we can love man by telling him about Jesus. So, seniors, in this today, I know this is kind of short, but I would just want to say these things to you. You have your whole life ahead of you. Learn from your elders. Sit down with your mom and dad and have a discussion with them. Sit down with your grandparents. Sit down with your aunts and uncles. Sit down with successful businessmen. Sit down with successful, Just sit down with successful people. And really ask questions. There's times today, I just want to say, I wish I would have sat down with my dad and had a conversation with him man to man. I wish I would have asked him questions about his life that I never knew about. I wish I would have been able to ask him questions about when he got saved and how his salvation experience was. I wish I could sit down and ask him, Dad, what was it like when you were 3 years in the hospital and you could not get out? What was it like during those times? But I never asked him those questions. Ask. Oh, what a great time my dad used to have with me when we would sit down at the dinner table and we would talk theology. Now, my wife would say we'd argument, but anyhow, we'd talk theology. We had great times of doing that. Learn from those around you. God has placed them in your life. Don't think that just because they're an adult, they don't get it, because I can tell you they do get it. They love you and they care for you and they have so much for you. Learn from life. Learn that life has real value. And learn really who God is. And I would say that would be your chart on your journey as you get started. And if I can use a nautical term, as you're on your boat and the lines are cast and you're getting ready to start on your journey, you'll have your direction. You have your founding steps. Search out God, and he will lead you, and he will show you, and he will direct your paths. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not into your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Seniors, I remember when I was in your shoes. Boy, could I help you out in making some mistakes that you don't need to make. Father, we come before you now. And I thank you for the parents who have brought up their children. This day is one of those days that's bittersweet. We raise them to leave. We raise them so that they can get on their own 2 feet. Now the realization starts hitting us that this is the day. Parents, don't ever give up. Pray for your kids. Graduates, I would say, never give up. Pray for your parents. Make that phone call. Write that letter. Keep God close. Father, I pray that you'll just give the direction today. I pray that, Lord, in 10 years and 15 years, dear Father, that the result of their direction in their life, Lord, will bring them closer to you. That's our prayer today. Just draw them close to you and let them walk with you. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll intercede, direct, and guide in their lives. Father, I'll ask these things in your Son's name.